Father, we've been hearing the stories of your promises, those words of reassurance. And Lord, may the music, the words of the hymns, the words of scripture sink deep inside of us, shaping us and forming us more and more into who you've called us to be. And I pray that the words which will now be spoken, may they be your words and not mine. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's Christmas Eve. It's a quiet night. It was snowing this afternoon for a bit, and I thought, how appropriate. It just adds to the whole ambiance. Because snow, for me, always reminds me of those words, you know, your sins are scarlet, but to be washed as white as snow. And really, Christmas Eve is the beginning of that journey of Jesus to wash our sins away, to make us clean and white as snow. We've been journeying through Scripture this evening, reflecting and singing our way through God's faithfulness to his commitment to us, his people. Right from the beginning, God has walked with his people. He walked with Adam and Eve in the garden, and then when they decided to walk their own path rather than God's path, God still said, I am not giving up on you. I will be with you always, and I am even going to send a Messiah so that one day I can walk with you again in the cool of the evening by the side of the river. God makes promise after promise after promise, giving and pointing ahead to the good news that's going to come. God promises a redeemer, someone who's going to defeat Satan, defeat him once and for all, buy us back, redeem us from sin and death. And yet, even with the promise of a Messiah, even with all that God has done for his people, humanity has still so often walked in fear and uncertainty. So often we listen to the bad news rather than the good news. Reverend Thomas Butts writes, Jesus was born into a world riddled with fear. So much of the lives of people was controlled by factors that they had no control over. Anything not explained rationally, which was almost everything it seemed, was thought to be caused by demons and evil spirits. Disease and weather were controlled by unseen evil spirits over which they had no control. Israel was occupied by a Roman army. The destiny of the country was in the hands of people who didn't even have their best interests at heart. Every change seemed to worsen their situation, which was already bad. Most news was bad news. Fear so consumed the first century people of Israel that they didn't even know how to feel. So they were instinctively afraid all the time. But tonight, we remember that God doesn't sit still, that God's on the move. And we see that as he comes time and time again in a few short chapters in Matthew and Luke, sending angels again and again and again to bring good news, to let the world know that he's making something happen, that he's going to show that he's in charge, to remind them that he's their God and they are his people. We hear the reassuring words of the angel, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord. And that's the fourth time angels have appeared in a short period of time. First there was Zechariah. Angel meets him in the temple, says, you and your wife, even though you're old and there's no way you can have kids, you're going to have a child, and that child is going to lead the way for what God's doing next. And he and his wife Elizabeth became the parents of John the Baptist. And people were amazed. And then the angel appears to Joseph, to Mary first, and says to Mary, "Blessed are you among women. You know, something special is going to happen. You've been chosen. The Lord's with you. You're highly favored." We hear the unexpected good news as an angel calls Mary, "You're highly favored." I remember a missionary once saying, "I'm not sure I would want God to call me highly favored, because that means he's got plans for me. And whenever God has plans for me, that means I've got to step out of my comfort zone and I've got to really pay good attention to what he's doing so that I can join him in what he's doing rather than continuing on my own merry way." And the angel says, "You know what? You're going to be a mother. You're going to be the mother of God. And he's going to be called the Son of the Most High, whose kingdom will never end." And Mary's hearing all these echoes, and you can pick up on them in her song as well. And we remember at Christmas as well that we're highly favored as well, as Jesus came to live among us, to become a human just like us, to learn life. To learn life as we live it. I love how Leonard Vanderzee writes about Jesus' birth. "Mary uncovered a baby as much as she could in that chilly, dank space. She examined him from head to toe, caressed his tiny body, touched his perfect fingers and toes. Perhaps it wasn't so amazing to her or to Joseph, but to me, the most amazing sight she laid her eyes on was that stub that protruded from his belly, the freshly cut, already withering cord that had sustained his life in her womb, the cord through which he received her nourishment, her very life. When you really think about it, this is the most amazing thing. This child, the long-promised Son of God, has a belly button. The incarnation means that God now has a belly button. He is bound forever to the human race, and that remnant of an umbilicus proves it." That's the good news. God becomes human. God has a belly button just like us. But that also means that he could feel pain and he could feel sorrow. He could feel joy and celebration. He could feel love, but he could also feel hatred. He could feel disappointment. He can even feel fear. All the things that we experience in life, Jesus experiences too, because he has a belly button, because he's one of us. God is with us as a baby in a cradle. God in skin, as one theologian says, from the early, early church. God who joins us in all our joy, all our sorrow, and washes us clean, not only of our sin, but also of our fears and worries. Because he's the good news. And then there's Joseph. Amazing Joseph. Compassionate Joseph. Who receives an angel visit to reassure him that it's okay to marry his fiancée Mary, even though she's expecting a child that's not his. And that he's to marry her and help raise this child. And he's going to be called Jesus. And he's going to save his people from their sins. So Jesus grows up in a family with all the wonder and stress that comes from family. All the comfort and all the hurt that families can bring. See, Jesus gets it. He understands, and he's there as our big brother to hold us when we need holding, to challenge us when we need challenging, and to encourage us when we need encouragement. And now a choir of angels has come to proclaim that the promised child is here, the Savior of the world, the one who will save their people from their sins, Emmanuel, God with us. He's here. Now, he's not in the palace, but he's in that town of Bethlehem, the house of bread, because he's the bread of life. God's greatest expression of love has just been born as a babe in Bethlehem. And the good news is that because of the babe of Bethlehem, we're all included in the love of God. You may not have accepted yet Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but God loves you. And God's led you here this evening to hear how great his love is for you and to invite you to come bow before the babe in the cradle. That babe who grew up and who so loved you that he took the hard journey all the way to the cross for you, to wipe away all your sin. Jesus has made us right with our Heavenly Father so that we can be called children of God. We can be called beloved of the Father. Pastor Pam Barnhart was teaching the children's sermon for an unusually large crowd of children at the 11 o'clock service at the First United Methodist Church in Alabama. Now, this was a young church, and there were children packed into every corner of the pulpit area. They were hiding in behind a tree in the baptism font and the table and the piano and the drum set. And as Pastor Pam is telling the story of Jesus coming and how much God loves them, she ended the brief message by pointing to the children and says, "And God loves you, and God loves you, and God loves you, and God loves you." But she forgot to point to that one corner. And all of a sudden, a small little voice said, "What about me?" That child represents all of those who have felt left out, the poor, the oppressed, and the unnoticed, those who live below the radar, who wonder if they're too small, or too bad, or too insignificant to be included. Well, the good news is that Jesus came to tell us that we're all included in the grace-filled love of God. No one, not a single one of you, is left out. In a world where there's still so much bad news, we hear the angels' words ring out again with words of hope that even today speak into our fears and distress with good news. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will bring joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. God has come to live among his people and point the way to salvation, to hope, and to freedom for all those who are willing to come to the babe of Bethlehem and accept him as their Lord and King. As the writer to Hebrew reminds us, long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, he's spoken to us through his very Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance. And through the Son, he created the universe. And the Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. And he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. And when he has cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. And there he intercedes for us still today. Right now, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and he is saying to his Father, "Do you see? Do you see your sons and your daughters? Do you see them praising you and worshiping you? Do you see their fears and their uncertainty? Give them peace. Fill them with hope. Let them experience your presence." This Son is Jesus, who was born on this night so many years ago. So we join the angel in song and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace on whom his favor rests." Hark the herald angels sing.